Just record.
This month's year has been sponsored by Passion Steve Case and Family in memory of Tzvi Ben Apelia Kohen Zal. In tonight's year, I want to take two different halachas concerning tefillin, both of them being halacha l'Moshe Mesinai, and try to understand, really on a twofold level, in terms of, first of all, understanding each one in and of itself, and then perhaps the relationship between the two halachas. So the Gemara tells us in the first of the Ma'amar Kumbos, the Gemara says, Menachos, Taf Lamed Heim, and Aleph, so much of Ilkus Tefillin is Halacha L'Moshe Mesinai. So this is also, the Gemara says, Kach Nemar Halacha L'Moshe Mesinai, that one has to have a shin engraved onto the bayis. It's interesting, the Gemara never says that you need two shins. The Gemara always uses the phrase, Shin Shel Tefillin Halacha L'Moshe Mesinai. It's usually assumed that in fact that is the case, that you require both, that was also included in Halacha L'Moshe Mesinai. It's also interesting to note that the Gemara never spells out anything unique about what the shin is supposed to look like. And Afal Pichen, we have a tradition, an age-old tradition, which the first source, written source, appears in the Gaonim, the idea of having what's called the three-headed shin and the four-headed shin. So if you take a look at your own fill, you'll notice one is a regular shin and one is a very special, fancy type of a shin. So we generally assume that's also considered to be Halacha L'Moshe Mesinai, even though the Gemara never spells it out exactly. But the basic din of shin shel tefillin, that for sure is Halacha L'Moshe Mesinai, and if the shin is missing on the bayis shel rosh, so then the tefillin is not acceptable. Then the Gemara in the second Ma'amar Kumbos says, "Amar Rav Yehuda Breider of Shmuel Bar Shelas Bishvein the Rav, Kesher Shel Tefillin Halacha L'Moshe Mesinai." That the fact that you have to have a Kesher in the Tefillin, and I'm not even going to explain what precisely that means yet. As we go along, we'll see there's a major machlokes. But the Kesher Shel Tefillin is also Halacha L'Moshe Mesinai. So if you would just read these two Gemaras, you would walk away with the impression that both of these dinim are true. They're both quite chomer, and they're both going to be ma'akev, because they are Halacha L'Moshe Mesinai. Of course, there's ma'akev. But you would think that there's really no connection between the two. One's the din of the shin, what's supposed to be in the bayis, and one is how you form the rituas. It's not even clear from the Gemara, when the Gemara says kesh shel tefillin, whether it's referring to the shel yad or the shel rosh, or maybe to both of them. So one would walk away and say that there's really no connection between these two halachos. So if you continue on to the same Ma'amar Makom, the second Ma'amar Makom, we skip a few lines, the Gemara quotes the pasuk at the end of the third to last line, Varo kalamia aretz, Kishem Hashem nikra alecha v'yarmi mekam, that the non-Jews will see that the name of Hashem is on you, and there'll be a fear, there'll be an awe of you. So Tanya, Rabbi Elazar, God lomer, very famous, drasha elu tefillin shebarosh. This is referring to the tefillin shebarosh. The tefillin shebarosh, that's considered to be the Shem Hashem, which is considered to be on the Jewish people, and that hopefully is going to lead l'day yira and marva facha that the non-Jewish world is going to have. There's a famous maisa, not relevant for the Shia, but it's a cute story. There's a famous maisa with the Vilna Gaon that we all know that Vilna Gaon used to walk around the palace and fill in the entire day. So one time he overheard, he was sitting and learning in a little hole in Vilna, and he heard that there was a Jew outside who was getting beaten up by the non-Jews. So he walked outside to see what he could do to help. So as soon as the non-Jews saw that he had the Vilna Gaon came out with his palace and fill in, they ran away. So somebody had seen that, so they tried to pull off the same stunt also. So when they tried to pull off that stunt, they got the living daylights beaten out of them. So they asked the Vilna Gaon, "My high, how come it worked for you and not for me?" So the Gra, the way the apocryphal story goes, so the Gra said to them that the Gemara says that V'ro kalami yas kishem Hashem nikra alecha eil tefillin shabir rosh. It doesn't say eil tefillin sh'al harosh. The fact that you have tefillin leather boxes which are sitting on top of your head, that doesn't scare away anybody. But if the tefillin of birosh, if the mussar of the tefillin, the terror of the tefillin has penetrated into your head, so that the outside world sees that, the Yerami Mechem. Anyway, that's where the story goes. Whether it happened or not, I wasn't in Vilna in the 1700s. That's a cute story. Anyway, so the Gemara says this, Jerusha, that Vero, Kolam Yat Kishem Hashem Nikra Alecha, refers specifically to tefillin shel rosh, in contrast to the tefillin shel yad. That seems to be the context of the sugya. The dafki of tefillin shel rosh, somehow that's considered to be a keem of the pasuk of Shem Hashem Nikra Alecha. Why should that be so? So comes Tosus in the next of the Ma'amar Kumbos, and quotes Rashi Shita, Elu tefillin shel rosh, pirsh bekuntrius, shekosav alein rov Hashem, shin v'dalet. So Rashi learns Pshat in the Gemara, how did Chazal know that Shem Hashem, v'ro kolam yaretz kishem Hashem Nikra Alecha, that refers dafka to the shel rosh, maybe it refers to the tefillin shel yad? So Rashi explains now that the Shem Hashem is made up of the both batim and both sets of rituas together. What does that mean? the shin of the shame of Shakai is on the bias. The Dalit is on the Ritzuas in the back of the Shel Rosh, and the Yud is a little the little Kesher on the Shel Yad. So Rove of the Shame, it happens to find itself on the Tefillin Shel Rosh. The Shin and the Dalit are on the Shel Rosh, and the Yud is only on the Shel Yad. So that's why Chazal, they understood that Kishem Hashem Nikra Lech, when the Pasuk says that the non-Jews will see the Shem Hashem, so it doesn't mean they're just going to see the last letter, the Yud, that little tiny Yud of the Shel Yad. That's not a fulfillment of Kishem Hashem Nikra Lecha. It's only the Tefillin Shel Rosh, which have Rov Hashem, only about the Tefillin Shel Rosh can you make the statement for Rov Kolam Yad Kishem Hashem Nikra Lecha. That's Rashi's Pshat. So Tosa says, this Pshat of Rashi, which again the Gemara is talking a little bit in Musa and Hashkofa type of the sense, so Tosa takes the statement of Rashi, very, very important Lamaisa. Comes Tosa and says that from Rashi it would appear that when the Gemara says that you have to have a shin shel tefillin halacha Moshe Mesinai, and the Gemara says you have to have a kesher shel tefillin halacha Moshe Mesinai, so notice that the Gemara never says what the kesher has to look like. The Gemara uses the phrase shin and kesher shel tefillin. Rashi put in this idea that the kesher has to have a specific tzura, a specific shape, that has to look like a dalet, and the reason why it looks like a dalet is because it should make up two-thirds of the Sheim Hashem. So Tosfos disagrees with Rashi's pshat. Tosfos says, V'nira, the dalet v'yud sheberitzuos lav osios gemuros heim. Tosfos disagrees with Rashi. Tosfos says that the Gemara never really says that the kesher shel tefillin is supposed to be a dalet. The Gemara just says kesher shel tefillin halacha Moshe Mesinai. So Tosfos argues that the quote-unquote kesher shel tefillin that does not have the status of an oath in halacha, neither the dalet on the back, nor the yud on the shel yad. What in the world does that mean? Whether it has a din of an oath, doesn't have a din of an oath. So Tosfos continues a little bit further. If you skip down a couple of lines to the first word line is lo kari. So Tosfos says in the middle of that line, onam rinan beprek v'mem adlikin, the Gemara that we spoke about last week, the Gemara makes a global statement that anything that's used in Melech HaShemayim has to come from kosher animals. So the Gemara says, L'may Hilchasa, what is the significance of that statement? So Ilay Mevechulei, so the Gemara, that tells us only quoted half the Gemara, the Gemara says it as follows, that does that statement come to tell me that there's a general cloud, there's a Melech HaMoshe Messina that you have to use kosher animals, is that referring to the parshios of Tefillin? Gemara says you don't need a halacha l'moshe mesina for that. You don't need a statement of lahukshua l'mlecha shemayim l'arbeim otar b'vad to tell me that the parishes have to be on kosher skin. That's the pasuk b'ferish in the chumash. The Torah says by tefillin l'man tia teres Hashem b'ficha. So that pasuk means that whatever the teres Hashem is written on, namely the cloth, the parishes, it has to be b'ficha. It has to be minamuta b'ficha. So the Gemara says that's a drasha. That's a pasuk. So why do you need a halacha l'moshe mesina of lahukshua l'mlecha shemayim if you already have a pasuk that teaches us that? So the Gemara says, you're right, that pasuk, that cloud, lahukshu l'mlecha shemayim al arbeim ato buvad, was not necessary for the parashas. That I already know. So what is it necessary for? At all the oros, the next stage the Gemara says, is maybe that halacha l'moshe mesina teaches us that the batim have to be made out of kosher leather skins. You have to take skins dafka from a kosher animal. The Gemara says, no, you don't need a pasuk. You don't need a klal for that either. You don't need a halacha l'moshe mesina for that. That's also a pasuk. Why? V'hamar Abaye shin shel tefillin halacha l'moshe mesina. Perish. What does that mean? Upshita d'tzorach b'hem b'torah. Since there's a halacha l'moshe mesina that you have to have a shin on the bayis shel rosh, so the Gemara is making a yisod, telling us a yisod. That's cool. Teres Hashem. The pasuk says in Parshas Bo, Teres Hashem v'ficha. Anytime you write the Teres Hashem, Teres Hashem means either psukim or the Shemas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Anytime there's a Shem Hashem, there's a Teres Hashem that's written, by definition it has to be on kosher skin. That's a pasuk. L'man tia Teres Hashem b'ficha. So why do you need a new klal to tell me l'huch shulam l'cha shemayim ela or behem atar b'luvad? I already know that the parshas have to be on Teres Hashem, and I already know that the or the bottom has to be minamut b'ficha. So what do you need the klal for? So comes the Gemara says, Ela l'ritzuos. The klal of l'hukshul l'mlecha shemayim teaches us that even the ritzuos have to be from kosher skin. The clear implication being that ritzuos are not cool teres Hashem. And now Tosfos says Rashi where they want him. Rashi said that when you tie ritzuos in the back, you're making a dalet. When you tie ritzuos in your arm, you're making a yud. So Tosfos says if that's true, so then the same way that the Gemara considers the bayis shel rosh to be teres Hashem because it has a letter of the Shem Hashem, who are dinami the ritzuos, which also make up letters of the Shem Hashem, should also be called teres Hashem. So what are you telling me that the only reason why ritzuos have to be from kosher animals is because of the new klal, the halacha l'moshe mesina l'huchshu l'mlecha shemayim? typically, it should be included in the age-old drasha of the man tiyotas Hashem b'ficha. So this complicated, convoluted raya, bottom line, Tosfos says, you see that Rashi is wrong. You see that there is no din that the ritzuos are considered to be Hashem Hashem. So really, Tosfos stops here, but we have to understand what exactly Tosfos means to tell us. So one thing we know for sure, Tosfos holds that the ritzuos are not considered to be part of the Hashem Hashem. But what does that mean? You can understand Tosfos really in one of two ways. Either you can understand what Tosfos means is that there is no halacha as to what the ksharim have to look like. Because again, to go back to the Gemara says, Kesher shel tefillin halacha Moshe Mitzina. The Gemara never said the Kesher has to look like anything. The Gemara never connected the din of Kesher to anything to do with the Shem Hashem. The Gemara made an innocent statement, Kesher shel tefillin halacha Moshe Mitzina. Maybe that's Tosfos Shita. Maybe Tosfos holds that whereas the shin on the shel rosh, that's the Shem Hashem, that's a halach of a shin, whereas the kesher, make a Boy Scout's knot, make any knot, make a sailor's knot, as long as it stays in place, that's considered to be acceptable. There is no din how the kesher has to look. That's one possibility in Tosfos. Well, maybe Tosfos means something else. Maybe Tosfos means that, of course, there's a halach of Moshe Mitzina, what the kesher has to look like. Everybody agrees the kesher has to resemble a dalid. The only thing is that al pi halacha, it doesn't have the din of an os dalet. It has the halacha of what's called a tsuras dalet without an os dalet. When it comes to the shin, so that has to be an os of a shin, that has to be a ksav of a shin, and therefore it's called teres Hashem, and therefore l'man teres Hashem b'ficha applies to the batim. Masha enkein, the ritzuos, true the halacha is, it has to look like a specific way, but there's no din ksiva on the ritzuos. That's just a tsuras dalet without a shem os dalet. Why would anybody say such a strange thing? Not necessarily. Two things don't necessarily go hand in hand. It's hard to derive halach Moshe Mitzina as one from another. So it's no, Abai was just saying that since there's a din that a shin has to be written on it, so that's called Teres Hashem. Shin by definition is part of the Shem Hashem, so it's called Teres Hashem. If it's called Teres Hashem, then for sure it has to be in Kosher Skin. So why would somebody even dream that Tosfos holds such a strange Hagdara that it has to be a dalet, yeah, but it doesn't have a din of an os dalet? So the emphasis is that somewhat strange Hagdara seems to be what the Shifas Rambam is. There are two Rambams, if you put together two Rambams, you seem to walk away with this picture. So the Rambam, the next thing the Rambam comes, the Rambam makes the following statement. Ein osen at tefillin ela Yisrael, that only a Jew is kosher to make tefillin. We spoke about this in the past. Not only is only a Jew kosher to write tefillin, that's the original halacha, because the Torah says ukshatam uchsaftam, only someone who's chayiv in kshira can create ksiva. The Rambam extends that din that not only is a non-Jew not allowed to write tefillin, but he's not allowed to make the batim either. El Yisrael she'asiyasim kiksivasam. So the Rambam says that the making of the batim has the halachic status of a ksiva. Why is that? Why is the making of the batim included in the gezeras hakos ukshatam uchsaftam? So the Rambam says the following interesting idea: Mipnei Hashin Sha'osin Ba'or Kemosha Amarnu. Since the halacha is that you have to make a shin in the shel rosh, so that shows that the asiyas habayas al pi halacha is like ksivas haparsha. So just as like ksivas haparsha is the gzeiras hakosav ukshartam uchsaftam, only someone who's included in kshira is kosher for ksiva. Who a dinami? Only someone who's included in kshira is kosher for the asiyas habayas. Which lets the machwerim to say, what about the bayas shel yad? So some Echaron said, yeah, Nechanami, maybe Minatari really can. It's quite a startling statement. But anyway, so therefore, based on this, that the Rambam writes, the Fikach, in Fikach HaKusi, of Tofran, Psulos, the Huadin, Lechol Apostle, Lekosvan, Shlo Yasuoson. So this is the Rambam's equation, that a Goy is not acceptable to make a bias, and the reason is because of the Din of Hashem. Now, there's a clear implication from the Rambam. If the Rambam was describing all the things that a non-Jew is not allowed to do, so the Rambam shouldn't have stopped at this point, because Rambam should have written that Ein Osin HaRetzuos. The Goy shouldn't be able to cut the Retzuos, shouldn't be able to tie the knots. The Rambam doesn't say that. The Rambam says the Goy can't write the Parshas, and the Goy can't make the Bayis, at least the Bayis Shel Rosh. Why did the Rambam leave out the Retzuos? So it seems to indicate that the Rambam seems to be on Tosfos' side, that maybe there is no din in terms of a dalet. Maybe the asiyas dalet, the asiyas kesh, the asiyas suos, you can't call that ukshar to muhsaftam because that's not considered to be a ksivas os. So the problem is that the Rambam at the end of halacha aleph, the Rambam spells out all the halacha Moshe Mitzinai, shmona halachas yesh b'maita tefillin, kulan halacha Moshe Mitzinai, lefikach kulan ma'atvos, im shinibiachas mehem posel, any mistake, any change in any of them is a problem. The Ram goes through most of them we've gone through already, in terms of them being square and being black and shins and everything. And then if you take a look at the very last line, the Ram says, "V'sheyia ha-kesha shalahen, kesha yadua ketsuras dalid." That the kesha should look like a dalid. So now we have the Rambam in an apparent contradiction. On the one hand, the Rambam clearly holds that the halacha l'moshe m'sinai is not just stam, you can make a Boy Scouts now. There is a halacha l'moshe m'sinai, it has to be some resemblance whatsoever to a dalid. That the Rambam is clearly saying. On the other hand, the Rambam holds that a goy can make the rituals for you. Because the Rambam only disqualified a goy from making the batim. So what's the answer to the Rambam? Is the rituals an os or is it not an os? So the Brisker Rav says, and the stam, what the Rambam holds is as follows. That there are two halachas, a very briska, this is a real briska halacha Moshe Mesinai, that the halacha Moshe Mesinai was that not only do you need a kesher shel tefillin, you need a kesher b'tzuras dalet, that's true, but it doesn't have a din of an ois dalet. That din of ksivas os, that was a unique halacha that was only said by the shin shel tefillin. My nafkamina, that that's a din os and that's not a din os. So the Rambam says, I'll tell you, it's tremendous nafkamina. The nafkamina is whether a goy is kosher to do it. According to the Shita of the Rambam, a goy can make bituas for you. According to the Rambam, a goy cannot make batim for you, because batim is tantamount to ksivas aparsha, because it's shatim uksaftim, because of the halacha l'moshe m'sinai of the shin. Hashem ain't came to dalid, through the halacha l'moshe m'sinai that you require a dalid, but it doesn't have a shame oath. So basically, we have, in terms of lumdus, there are three different possibilities, three different permutations in the Rishonim, how to understand this halacha l'moshe m'sinai, a very simple, innocent halacha l'moshe m'sinai, that kesher shall fill in halacha l'moshe m'sinai. So Rashi, on one extreme, seems to say that not only does the halacha l'moshe m'sinai tell me that you need a kesher, but the halacha l'moshe m'sinai tells me what it has to look like. It has to look something like a dalid. And number three, not only is it a kesher, not only does it have to be look like a dalid, but it has the halachic status of tzivas oh. That's what Rashi said. The pasuk kishem Hashem nikra alecha is mekuyam, dafka on the shorosh, because it has the shin and the dalid combined together. Masha Ein Kain, according to the Rambam holds that there is halacha l'moshe m'sinai what the kesher has to look like, but it doesn't have a din of a ksiva. And Tosfos may not hold like the Rambam. Maybe Tosfos holds exactly like the Rambam, or maybe Tosfos may hold even the most remarkable opinion that there's no halacha l'moshe m'sinai what the kesher has to look like, as the Gemara sounds like. The Gemara says, Beferish, that all it has to be is a kesher. The Gemara never ever says the phrase that it has to actually look like a dalet. So there are three possibilities. Either that the halacha l'moshe m'sinai is it has a din os of a dalet, or the halacha l'moshe m'sinai is it has a din of a tzuras dalet, or the halacha l'moshe m'sinai is that neither, that as long as it's a kesher, that's also different. It may be related to it very much. I mean, if you're working with the fact that there's a real bona fide halacha l'moshe m'sinai has to look like a dalet, you're going to have to work very hard to explain, you know, how all the different shurim, there are a lot of different permutations, different minhagim and klal Yisrael, about making different kinds of dalet. If you say, like Tosfos Pshat, that there never was a halacha l'moshe m'sinai has to be like a dalet, so that would make, we would breathe a big sigh of relief. I mean, who cares? Looks like a dalet, like a mem, like a baptist dalet, upside down dalet, this dalet, that dalet. It doesn't make a difference, because there was never a halacha l'moshe m'sinai of dalet. Once you take the view that there was a, that part of the halacha l'moshe m'sinai was has to look like a dalet, then you can start to shake. Then you have to be really, really sure that each sheet you're going to be able to explain away how that meets the criteria of that halacha l'moshe m'sinai. Yeah, you're right. You're right, 100%. It's very hard to ask kashas in halacha l'moshe m'sinai. It's hard. Right, unless you say that the Shin stands for the Shem Hashem. I mean, that's the Rosh HaTavis for the Shem Hashem. So I could hear such a smuck that the Torah says that you put a Shin on, so you see the Shin, that's the Shem Shakai. Masha Enkein, the Dal and the back of the Ritzuos, the Yud, those are the second and third letters, so that's not the Rosh HaTavis for the Shem Hashem. Maybe it's hard to say Svaras. It's very hard to say Svaras in Halacha l'moshe m'sinai. Okay. Yeah. It's a minute. That's a minute. Have the shin of the outside. That's really a minute. Right. But one thing seems to be pretty clear. Even if you, no matter what your opinion is about the dalid, it seems that everybody holds that the shin, that's a real din of ksaf. We already saw two makaris for that. We saw, first of all, the Gemara in Masechah Shabbos that Tosfos quoted, where the Gemara says that you don't need a cloud l'huk shalom lecha shemayim to pasol a bias shel rosh, which was made on or behemoth tameah, because that's called Torah Hashem. And you see from the Rambam also that the Rambam put together the din of ksivas aparsha together with the din of asiyas abatim. So it's clear that the shin, for sure, is a din of an oath. There's a halacha moshim sinai, it has to look like a shin, that the Gemara says, and not only does it have to look like a shin, but lechard has a din of an oath shin as well. So this led to an interesting shaila that the Mishnah Berurah quotes in Siman and in the back page of the Mamakamot, and Sivkot and Kuf Tzadi Aleph in Siman Lamed Beis. Siman Lamed Beis is a very, very long Siman. I think it could be the longest Siman in Aruch Chaim, and it's probably the hardest Siman in Aruch Chaim. It's basically all the dinim of Ksivas Tefillin. So three quarters of it is about Ksivas, all the dinim of a sofer. That's what he sits and learns all day. It's basically Siman Lamed Beis and Siman Lamed Vav. So comes the Mishnah Berurah in Sivkot and Kuf Tzadi Aleph, Kamin Shin, where the Mechaber said that the Bayis has to have a Kamin Shin. So comes the Mishnah Berurah and says, Amashmu Be'acharonim, Titmunas Shinin Shalonu, She'anu Osim B'Tfilin, Dai. That our shins, and here he means like regular classical printed shins. Like if you open up a Chumash, so that's not real Ksav Ashuris. Ksav Ashuris is like it says in the Sefer Torah. So the shin, you know, the flat base, things like that, so that's not exactly what a shin is supposed to look like in the Sefer Torah, at least not the Ashkenazi version of what the shin is supposed to look like. So the Mishnah Berurah said that it would appear in the Acharonim, but that's okay. That the shin, the standards for what constitutes the shin on the Bayis or Rosh are not that strong. They don't meet the regular criteria of Hilchos Sefer Torah Tefillin Mezuzos. So Deloba Inan Dafka Ksav Stam Mamish. You don't need Dafka, a shin that would be kosher in terms of Hilchos Sefer Torah Hilchos Tefillin Mezuzos. Ela Dugma. He says that as long as it looks like a shin, he means, layman takes a look at it and says, yeah, that's a shin. He says it's a beis, then possible. But if he looks at it, he says, yeah, that looks like a shin. It doesn't meet the criteria. The Vav Mishmer Stam won't give it a stamp for approval if it would be that, and if it looked like that inside the parashas. But for the purpose of the shin on the outside, it's good enough. So says the Mishnah Berurah, Minik Sofrim Kayom Be'ezim Ekomos. There are many places today where the Sofrim have a custom, Lahadir V'lasosa B'Ksav Ashuris Mamish. That to make the shin look beautiful, to make the mamish look like a standard shin as would appear in the Sefer Torah, in the Tefillin, or in the mezuzahs themselves. That's that minhag today. All the Tefillin that are made today, so the shin looks perfect. The shin looks exactly like it would look inside the batur. You can usually tell very quickly whether the Tefillin are Sephardi Tefillin or Ashkenaz Tefillin. I don't mean wrapping this way or that way. I mean real Ksav Sephardi, because the Sephardi shin is slightly different than the Ashkenaz shin. The Ashkenazi shin comes to a point, literally to a point, that all three legs of the shin are sitting on the little tiny point, where the Svart shin comes to a little bit more of a flatter base. So those who are wearing, those Svartim who are wearing Svarti Parshas, Ksav, which is the Svartish Ksav, so the shins inside will have a flat base, and the shin on the outside will have a flat base also. Supposed to be a whole discussion, what if you have someone, sometimes this happens like that, you know, the sofrim aren't so careful, so you'll end up, they'll stick in an Ashkenaz parshas into a Sephardi bias. They're both kosher, everything is kosher, but it's a little bit funny. Whatever the Mesorah is, you're supposed to, whatever you have, should be Tech Kavaro, whatever the inside should be on the outside. So this idea that the Mishnah Berurah writes, that Me'igra Din, he thinks it's good enough, even if the shin is not absolutely picture perfect, but lechatchil would be a nice thing, I'll see the mitzvah, it would really be nice to do that way. So this led to a whole complicated shayla that the Mishnah Berurah speaks about in Sifkat and Kufzad Gimel, which may be a real shayla ma'isa. So Makami Ta'or, the Shulchan Aruch describes the how to make a shin. So when you make the original mold, so what you're supposed to do is you're supposed to fold, you're supposed to pull out the shin. That's the correct way to do it. Then Hashem Makami Ta'or B'Malakad Adik Fila Shekofa Me'or Hashinasu Sifei Hashin. It's supposed to be, I'm not a batim acher, but it's supposed to be some kind of a tweezer type of material to pull out the shin, like as if you're actually riding the shin. So comes the Mishnah Berurah and says that there's another totally different method of making the shin. La sultan ide defus, tainush ala defus chokhik shin, boletes, fedoche kat defus be or habayis, fenase toar shin. The other way of making a shin, a lot easier way of making a shin, is to use a mold. If you, basically what you're doing is that you're not actually forming the shin, but you're pushing back the rest of the background, and the male of the shin is going to be left. So that touches on a question what's called an halacha chak tochos. The Gemara says in the second berakh of Maseches Gittin, when you write a get, you have to be very careful. The Torah says, v'chosof lo sever krisos. You have to do a maisa ksiva, so you have a drasha v'chosof lo v'chokof, that you're not allowed to carve out a get. What does it mean, not allowed to carve out a get? So the Gemara doesn't give the scenario, but this is the scenario that the Rishonim give. The Gemara is talking about on tablets, we'll leave that out for now. But in terms of writing, the Rishonim write as follows. What's the din? Let's say a sofer is about to write a get, and just before he starts, he drops a big blob of ink on the piece of paper, and rather than ripping it up and throwing it out, he says, well, you know what? I'm about to write, the first word is going to be be'echad, whatever, So what does he do? So he, rather than forming a bay, so he cuts out a little bit of the ink all around it, and he's left with a bay. And he does on the next and the next, and every letter that he does was never, he never really wrote the get, he just erased everything else. He erased all the excess ink, and he was left with the get. So that's what's called chach tocha. So that's absolutely possible. We pass him that get is possible in a Torah. And if you would do that and say the Torah tefillah mezuzos, we pass that's also possible in a Torah. This is a very, very serious problem that unless the sofer is yirei shemayim, you never really know whether he did this or not. Sometimes the sofer could be goofing or make a mistake in a letter. So he wants to correct the mistake. So rather than erasing the whole thing and starting over again, so let's say he was about to write a yud. He dropped a little bit of a blob. So he wants to save some time. So we'll just chisel away a little bit and make a nice yud. So that yud is absolutely possible. And the Mishnah says in Maseches Menachos that if sefer Torah tefillah mezuzos are missing even one letter, so it's totally possible in a Torah. So a letter that's done on a day chak tochos is clearly not acceptable for ksav. So that's a special halacha of Moshe Mitzrayim. The ksiva always means ksiva, and it doesn't mean chakika. And there's no way to know this because you can't tell. The mice of the letter looks the same. So the only way to know it is that the sofer hopefully is Yirei Shemayim and he didn't pull off the stunt. That's why I think they say from the Chayyadim that the Chayyadim would insist that no sofer is allowed to have he's not allowed to hold on to a razor blade. Because if you have a razor blade sitting on the table, so that's going to be very easy to scratch away. So the Chayyadim would insist that none of the sofer in town would be able to own razor blades. I mean, we checked. I don't know who he enforced that, but that was what the Chayyadim meant. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes a shaila: when you want to make the shin on the tefillin sharosh, so if you want to use a mold, in effect, what you're doing is chaktochos. In effect, what you're doing is you're not writing a shin; you're pushing back the rest of the R, and the middle of the shin is left. So what's the halacha? So I'm betazim agan avram demashvel lechatchila tov limnoa mizeh. So the Tazim of Avram write that it's really better to avoid doing this. And the reason being, because it's a chashash that it's possible. Because it's not just lechatchila. Some Rishonim will say it's mamish possible because the chisaron of chak tochos. And it was generally assumed that that's not true. That even though the oath of the shin really has the halachic status of an oath, and it has the Torah Hashem and everything, but some of that din of chak tochos doesn't carry over. Why that should be so is unclear. But the Tazim of Avram said lechatchila you should be ma'akwit for this. You really should not form the shin through a mold. You should rather form it like the old style way of pulling it out with the tweezers. So why did they change the minute? Why did they start using these molds? And it continues. That for keret, there was some who insisted on doing the molds. You know why? Because it comes out nicer. The Mishnah Berurah says that's what the Olam does today. Lasosim b'tfus b'nei shayideze yesh la'tor shin b'chul yosef is yuna yosef mishin ha'mekumetus meha'or. Those are the old style, the low tech. In terms of just pulling it out, you know, slowly. It's going to be a shvacha job. It's going to look like a messy shin. So those people who were so makbid, every chumah zakula, they were very makbid. They wanted to make a mehudadik a shin, which is not makbid anyway. It doesn't matter what the shin looks like. They wanted to be makbid to make a mehudadik a shin. They ended up being makel on the shalach chaktochus with some of the rishonim said mamish pasul the shin. So the Mishnah Berurah says it's okay. The Ma'aseh Mishnah Berurah says that even a shin that's made adei chaktochus is acceptable. How do we do bizman hazeh? So this is one of the hidurim that you find in tefillin. So it's going to depend on the price of the tefillin. So the less expensive tefillin usually just rely on this because it's much cheaper. It takes a lot faster to do a mold than to sit for 3 hours trying to pull out the shin to make it look nice. So the less expensive tefillin usually rely on this kula, which the Mishnah Berurah says is good. The Mishnah Berurah says mikra din is good, and there are some poskim who said it's even good lechatchila because it does taka make the shin look a little bit nicer. And there are others, the more expensive tefillin, usually this is one of the things that they're makbid on. The same way we said a few weeks ago, that one of the chumras of the more expensive tefillin is that it's totally orechad without any shilas, and there's no glue in between, and all the... So usually there's a cloud gadol in tefillin and in life, you pay per chumra. So if you want to have tefillin which have the shin, which was formed, which was done meticulously through the pulling out of the ore with using some kind of a tweezer material, so to get it done that looks beautiful and to get it done without any chashash of chaktoch, it usually costs a little bit more money. So again, that's the issue, that it's based on the fact that the Gemara does say there's a din of ksav, so l'char, there's a din of ksav, that should lead us to conclude that it has to be daftai de ksiv and not de chaktochos. So others disagree. Others say it's a din of ksav, but some of that chumr of chaktochos, for whatever reason, doesn't carry over. There is one last din which is relevant in terms of the keshil tefillin, which really leads us out of the realm of the cheft of tefillin per se, more in terms of the ma'aseh mitzvah tefillin. So when I started the shiur menuchos tefillin a few weeks ago, so I said we're going to break it up into two categories. We're going to speak about the cheft of tefillin. So we spoke about the parashiyos, we spoke about the batim, we spoke about a little bit of the ritzuas, about the ksharim. So in the next couple of shiurim, we're going to be talking more in terms of the mitzvah of tefillin, when you put on tefillin, how you put on tefillin, who puts on tefillin, things of that nature. So this is really the bridge between the two sugyas. which is relates to the Kshira, but relates really in terms of the Maisa Mitzvah. And that's as follows. It was a very fascinating Machlekes HaRishonim, which were, this Machlekes is so far removed from us that it's hard for most people to believe that there ever was a Shita that disagreed. But it was the famous Shita of Rabbeinu Eliyahu that Taisus in Maseches Menachos, tells in other places, quotes, Mishas HaNachav et Shas Kshira. The Gemara uses the phrase that when you put on tefillin, the Gemara is talking about when do you make the bracha. So the Gemara says you shouldn't make the bracha when the tefillin are in the bag, that's too early. On the other hand, you shouldn't make the bracha when the tefillin are on you already. It's supposed to be over last yosem. So when do you do it? So Mishas HaNachav et Shas Kshira, from after they're on your arm already, before they're tied on. So what does it mean before they're tied on? So Mekan Hayim Medaktik Rabbein Eliyahu, Shetzorech Adam Likshar Tefillin B'chol Yom. Rabbein Eliyahu says that the mitzvah of Kshartam Lo'osa Yadecha means that you have to tie the tefillin on. What does that mean? It means you have to tie the knot onto your arm. Not just to pull a little strap like we do a half a second. It means every day when you finish putting on when you finish taking off your tefillin every morning, you have to see, there's nothing else to do when you're running out to try to catch the train, so you have to undo the knot, take it apart, and the following morning, you can't come late to Minyan anymore, you got to come 5 minutes before Minyan, because that's okay, everyone's coming at the same time, so everyone's going to be late. So the Ben Eliyahu says, you have to give yourself enough time to retie your tefillin every morning, otherwise you're not yet to the mitzvah. That's not Ukshayatam Le'osei Yadecha, that's Vahanachtam Le'osei Yadecha, that's not Ukshayatam. So Ben Eliyahu seemed to say his shita both by the tefillin Shoyad and by the tefillin Shorosh, and he was Medai from the Lashna Gemara, Mishas HaNachi Yad Shas Kshira. So Rabbi Natan refers the Ein Tzach. Rabbi Natan says, "Lo hayu dvar me'olam. We never heard of such a thing. It doesn't make any sense that there is no such mitzvah." So when the Torah says "ukshayat," and that means the hiduch, means the tightening of the pre-existing kesher. You tie a kesher once and it stays for 20 years. Ukshayat means the tying of that pre-existing kesher onto your own. No, hanacha means that you place it on your arm and then you tie it. How are you going to pull that off? How are you going to tie a knot with one hand? I don't know. I'll tell you the honest truth. I'm not sure. I don't know how to do it. Baruch Hashem, we don't pass like Rabbi Eliyahu. Baruch Hashem. We pass, of course, like Rabbeinu Tam. It's interesting. Tells us close to the possibility. Maybe you could split between the two. Maybe you could say that Tfilin Shel Yad, Rabbeinu Eliyahu is right, because it says Ukshayatim, whereas Tfilin Shel Rosh HaTayah doesn't say Ukshayatim. So it's interesting pshar. The ma'aseh we don't pass like the pshar either. We don't pass like Rabbeinu Eliyahu. We don't pass like the pshar. We pass in straight like Rabbeinu Tam. Of course, that the mitzvah of kshira both for the shoyan and shorosh means to tie a pre-existing kesher. There was a very strange sefer that was written 100 years ago. So I don't remember the name of the sefer. That it was written along the derech that we find sometimes the machlekes have these like interesting pilpulim. They try to show that every machlekes in the Rishonim in the Gemara, every machlekes was machlekes of Avram Yitzchok, machlekes Esav and Yaakov. You know all these like Mishlo Melech style things. So somebody wrote an entire sefer with these kinds of pilpula shel Torah. You know, try to show this is the machlekes David and Melech and Shlomo and Melech, all the machlekes in the Rishonim. So they came out. I don't remember how this Shtuch Torah worked out. That the machlekes of Menatam and Meliyo was the machlekes in Moshe and Paro. I'm not sure that the machlekes Moshe and Paro, and it came out that Rabbi Natan was shalek halacha. Rabbi Natan held like Paro, and Rabbi Eliyo held like Moshe Rabbeinu. So this particular person who wrote the sefer brought it to Rabbi Chaim for a haskama. So Rabbi Chaim said the sefer is fascinating. It's got a lot of very exciting things in it. For Rabbi Chaim says you can't print the sefer because it's apikorsis. How can you say that we passed like Paro? That's ridiculous. Yeah, we passed like Moshe. How can you pass like Paro every day? So Rav Chaim says you have to take it out. Apparently, what happened was that it was already sent to the printer. I guess in those days you couldn't just delete things so easily. So the person felt that it was too hard to take it out. On the other hand, if you had a haskama for Rav Chaim, you'd want to print it. So apparently, the way the story goes, the sefer was printed with the haskama for Rav Chaim, but the mechaber of the sefer wrote in the Hagdama, he writes that he got a haskama from Chaim Soloveitchik, but the Shtickle Torah on page 37, Rav Chaim says it's up because it's not necessary. So this is it. This is the machlokes of Rabbeinu Tam and Rabbeinu Eliyahu. So obviously we pass in like Rabbeinu Tam. So one of the rayas that Rabbeinu Tam brought was really a fascinating raya. The end of the Tosfos says, "Ve'od medaktik Rabbeinu Tam tahak shira lav mamashi mehad dechoshet bereish pred basa the erevin." The Gemara says at the very end of Maseches Erevin, "Kesher shel tefillin kesher shel kayama." That if a person ties a tefillin knot on Shabbos to chayav skila, that's an issa deraita, an issa kares, because that's called chilul Shabbos deraita. In order to be chayav for kosher on Shabbos, it has to be a kesher shel kayam. It has to be a permanent type of a knot. So now Rabbi Natan says, now I have a raya from that Gemara. V'ima yitzarech lahatev lukshar b'chol yom im ken lahav shel kayama. According to Rabbi Eliyo, tying a tefillin knot to tie a shoelace. So tying a shoelace is a kesher shel enosh kayama b'pashtus. So most of the time, whatever. So comes Rabbi Natan and says, from the fact that the Gemara Erevin says that the tie a tefillin knot is in this deraisa, So you see from here, well, that I'm right, that you tie it filling on, it lasts for 20 years until somebody sticks a key in it. So you never, whoever undoes this filling on. So that's called the Kesher Chayama. According to Ben Eliyahu, it's hard to understand why it should be called the Kesher Chayama. So what did Rabbeinu Eliyahu respond? So the Mordechai quotes that Rabbeinu Eliyahu said that, no, that the Torah says a tefillin is called a kesher. That's, the Torah uses the word, uksharta. So you can't ask kashas on the Rav Shalom. The Rav Shalom says you're not allowed to make a kesher on Shabbos. So usually kesher is defined in terms of time. But if the Torah says that, listen, you know, I'm calling this kesher a kesher, don't ask me any kashas. It doesn't meet the regular criteria of kesher, you're right. But sof kol sof, rachbana achshavei kesher. The Torah itself says that it's a kesher, so it's all done. So that's considered to be a kesher. That was the Rabbeinu Eliyahu's response back to Rabbeinu Tam. So lechor you see that there's a running machlekes here between Rabbeinu Tam and Rabbeinu Eliyahu. What gives the kesher shel tefillin the shame kesher min haTorah? According to Rabbeinu Tam, it's only because it's permanent. That's what gives it the shame kesher. According to Rabbeinu Eliyahu, what gives it the shame kesher is the fact that Torah says don't ask any kashas. So the Abin Nezer has a fascinating tshuva, going back a little bit what we spoke about last week. The Abin Nezer says, what's the law in the following case? Let's say, it's like a very common child, let's say you borrow tefillin from somebody, and you really do want to adjust the kesher. So assume you get permission to adjust the kesher. So what do people do? So they adjust the kesher, they put on the tefillin, and then after they take the tefillin off, they'll readjust it back to the previous size. So the Abin Nezer has a question whether you adhere to the mitzvah of tefillin that way. Why? Because the Torah says you need a kesher. So according to Rabbeinu Tam, what gives it the shame kesher? The only thing that gives it the shame kesher is the permanence of the kesher. If you just made the kesher now, knowing full well that in 10 minutes from now you're going to take the kesher apart, so maybe that's not called the kesher. According to Rabbeinu Eliyahu, okay, that's called the kesher because the Torah calls it a kesher. It's not my problem. But according to Rabbeinu Tam, who we happen to pass in like, so it's an interesting chum. That was Rabbeinu's suggestion. The Mishnah Berurah doesn't quote this idea, but if perhaps the Mishnah Berurah holds that this idea that you need a kesher shel kayama, that may be a special din of Shabbos, that may be a special din of Malachas Machsheves. You know, sometimes the criteria for Shabbos is different than criteria in other areas of halacha. So it could be that the Mishnah Berurah wasn't misyachas to this whole problem. The Nezer had an interesting chumrah based on this machlekes Rabbeinu Tam and Rabbeinu Eliyahu. So called bottom, the Gemara does say two things. The Gemara says shin shel tefillin halacha moshe min Sinai and kesher shel tefillin halacha moshe min Sinai. What exactly that kesher means? Does it mean it's shame oath? Shame oath dal? Does it mean it's uris dal? Does it mean neither of the two? That may be three different sheetahs in the Rishonim. The shin does have some kind of a din of iksav, whether that carries over in terms of being a perfect shin, whether that carries over in terms of tachtochos. Each of those are up for a question. Then the third issue in terms of lamais, you have to have a kesher no matter what. The machlokes have been a time where how that plays out in terms of every day putting on tefillin and the potential nafkamina ladin in terms of how do you define kesher.